Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Good morning. It is the WIP Morning Show. John Ritchie, James Seltzer in for Jody Cameron, Rhea Hughes, Fran Rojas, hanging out.
That song, man. Franny. Yes.
Oh, you like me now?
Yes.
You like me now?
I like Franny now.
It is. Yes.
Fearful Franny, no more.
So you admit you didn't like me before?
Yeah.
No.
That was what
you
that
just
was.
Did it. You're yeah. like, yes.
No, we all heard
I'm
it.
Just, I'm just pretending. Audio's
there.
I'm
I'll
pretending
cut that.
For effect.
Right.
Nice job on the music. Well done.
Yeah, really awesome, man. Doesn't that feel like the day's going to get off to a great start when you listen to Sweet Child of Mine?
Oh, yeah.
Like that opening is like a carnival.
Yeah. I wasn't going to go carnival, but I get it. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
Me too.
215-592-9494. Coming up in a little bit, we'll let you hear how it sounded. Some highlights from the weekend. The Phils take 2-3 from the Mets, which leads us to our Twitter poll question of the day. Sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people. Well-trained, friendly, and caring together. Let's drive ArminChevy.com. The question is, are you back in on the Phils after winning 2-3? They've won 10-13 after that loss, losing 9-10 there. Have really righted the ship. Resiliency. Played good baseball without Harper. Without Harper, though. And last night, we finally got to hear from Bryce. It's been out for, what, 2 weeks or so now in that range?
June 6th.
June 6th, yep. So right around 2 weeks. Harper joined the ESPN broadcast last night, spoke on the injury and how he's feeling.
I know Phillies fans are dying to know. What are you hoping for in terms of a timetable of coming back? Sometime next 10 days, something in that range?
Obviously that would be great. I hope everything goes well enough to be able to do that, but I don't want to put a schedule on anything right now because it's so early in the process. We've swung the last 2 days and swung it well. Come on, Ro.
And Rojas pulls it down.
Took 45 swings yesterday, 45 swings again today. Everything went well, so I'm definitely happy about that.
It was something you dealt with a bit last year, yeah?
Yeah, it came on a little bit last year for me and was able to play through it pretty well and then went away in the offseason and, you know, came back slowly this year and then got to the point where I couldn't do it. So I thought the best course of action would be, you know, sitting for a couple days and getting it right.
So good, bad. Like I don't really know. You don't love hearing that it, you know, was around last year and it lingered and then it slowly came back this year. And is this something that's going to keep bothering him and all that? But it does sound like, look, he wasn't swinging a bat for a while. He's taken 45 swings the last couple of days. It feels good. He didn't want to put a timetable on it. That's because it felt like it was a lot of like, oh, you know, like I'm not sure, but I'm feeling better. But it was no real clarification on
they don't
exactly
have a, they
how
they don't
bad
have
it is
to rush him back.
No, I mean, nor should they. Look,
how
I,
they played.
Take as long as he always rushes back.
Yeah, like, and that's the this, point. Yeah, they're if, not. They haven't fallen off a cliff.
And if this is something that was there last year and has lingered, yep. I think the more
point.
Rest, the better.
This
right?
This is right wrist inflammation. This is by definition, you know, lingering. You know, inflammation. It's chronic. It's not acute. It's the opposite of acute. It's not an injury that just happened. It's a chronic thing, an ongoing saga that goes back. And this is the worst kind of thing. Like for me personally, I had Achilles tendon inflammation, Achilles tendonitis for 2 years. You know, for the last 2 years I was playing, they were on fire. My Achilles, you know, like I was trying to tape them differently, like leave the heel open while they taped my ankles, trying everything. Just there's no escaping it. Just when you've got tendonitis or, you know, an inflammation, a chronic condition, it just comes on and it just doesn't leave. Because the only way for it to get better is to rest it until the inflammation is gone completely. You can help it along with ice and stim and you know, anti-inflammatories and you know, trying to flush things out, however you want to try to do that. But it really is just a matter of waiting for it to get better, and that's excruciating. That's worse than the injury itself.
Yeah, well, especially for Bryce, who we know always wants to get back on the field, played through it last year, as we know. And to Rhea's point, I do think if they can keep winning games, it is helpful because it can, you know, be like, Bryce, look, we're winning.
Yeah.
He is going on the trip. He was supposed to go to Miami last week,
yeah, and
they decided
here
at the last minute. But supposedly he is going to Houston.
Okay.
To bat in the cage on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Look, I think overall a positive development. And I do think it is interesting in the whole, you know, should they do at the trade deadline equation. When you look at the Harper thing, and, you know, you could look at it on the one hand, it's like he's hurt, and are they going to be as good without him? Can he make it? But the other angle on it is how much more Bryce, great Bryce, are we going to get if he comes back healthy and can give you something? Do you have to like grab that and take advantage of it and try and maximize
it? He's 33.
Yeah, he's going to be in October. He's turning 33 in October.
Sure. This is, look, Kyle Schwarber. We have, you hate to name the guys who are getting a little longer in the tooth.
But
we got some gray beards, you know, like it's just the way it is. And this is the window.
Yeah.
So let's maximize it. We're not fooling around here. We've got the talent. We've got the fourth highest payroll in all of baseball. You know, this is a team that should be World Series ready. And we are. We just have to hit. We just have to hit. Time it all up. That's the kicker. And right now, man, we're playing some good baseball. And it feels like the team is believing. And that's going to go a long way. This is a huge series coming up, though.
Yeah. No,
I mean, what a measuring stick. Now have we finally gotten to the point where our pitching staff has surpassed that, in my mind, this legendary pitching staff of the Astros
when they won the World Series.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, but look, they got a chance. And I do think this next month, all these series are important because it informs Dave Dombrowski and John Middleton and the decision they make about how all in they're going to go at the trade deadline a little over a month away. All right, 215-592-9494. We want to get a lot of calls in coming up in a little bit. We'll let you hear how it sounded, the highlights from the weekend, from the series. But again, we want to talk to a lot of callers. Let's start out with our guy, JB in Chestnut Hill. What up, JB?
Good morning. What up, buddy? How you doing?
Hi, JB.
Hey, John. You know that the component, the peanut, can be used for explosives?
Yeah. Dynamite.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at you, too.
That's crazy.
The oil can be turned into, nitro. But, your strawberries, are you having a growing problem, or do you just
stop? I've buried them in the soil. I mean, they're kind of flimsy to start. So, the tiny, delicate vines, and I've planted them. They're sprouting out of the ground. I think they're doing well, but there's no, flowers or produce or berries or any of that. And, you know, maybe I'm just getting a little ahead of myself, but I've been watering for a while with nothing to
show for it.
Yeah.
What I know about farming can feel a thimble, but I have a friend who does grow them, and you got to check the pH balance, and the soil has to be super light.
Look at you.
Like real soft tilling.
See, this is already more than a thimble's worth, I'm just going to say.
Yeah.
See, that's
a little too much farming.
It's more than I know.
I've been dabbling in throwing some of the coffee grinds into the soil. So I might be messing with the acidity a lot.
They say you don't want it heavy. It's got to be real light.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, man.
All right. What do you got on the Phils, JB?
Point.
So I heard a funny quote during the game last night, and it's this team is like, my cousin Vinny when
I heard that too,
right, you know what I mean? Like, her biological clock is ticking, and it is. And Bryce kind of sounded a little bit tired and a little bit, I don't know, didn't sound like he was exuberant and ready to come back. I think the season's weighing on them all, and you got to get an arm. very soon, and you got to go all in this year. You have to. You just there's no other choice, because otherwise this team is going to turn very quickly. It's the top of the roller coaster. It's either going to go down in flames or it's going to be a heck of a ride, because there's a lot of players that are right on the cusp.
Yeah, I think the top of a roller coaster is a good analogy, and I agree with that with this specific group. But to your point of, you know, what else are they going to do? I do think that the, you know, the decade, 11 years of nothing that we went through after 11 until 22 does have to inform their decisions. Like, I'm with you. Again, I'm at the point where I'm willing to trade guys, but I do think they have to, you have to hold some back. I mean, you do have guys on long-term contracts. You got Harper, we're talking about, it's going to be 33 in October. You know, Nola's signed for a long time. You know, Turner, all these guys, you do need some younger talent at very cheap prices to supplement that, to kind of even it out and balance it. So, like, they are going to need some of these prospects to hit, but on the whole, I agree. Like, they have to be committed to this team.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you may be back on, or at least John and Rhea may be back on not being happy with your producer, because my answer is Raspberry Beret by Prince. And he said, I never heard the song.
Oh my God.
No. All right, JB, what? Great call.
Francisco.
Dude. All right, so you're play it coming back from the next break, and you can hear it live.
Only if it's good, though.
Dude, it's Prince.
It's phenomenal.
We're done. Yeah,
it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, me too.
Richie hates me again.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's an awesome song. Raspberry Beret, great answer.
All three of us love it, and we have very different tastes.
Yeah, that's a great point, Rhea. Yeah, it is a good point. So a little Raspberry Beret coming back. Fran can hear it for the first time. Great, great answer from JB. JB, that's not your fault. That is Fran's fault. Let's talk to Paul in Downingtown. Paulie.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Paul?
Not much, man. So I'm pretty psyched about the way the Phillies have turned it around. It seems like they've raised the level of their floor, so to speak. And I think a lot of it has to do with something weird that happens, like in team dynamics sometimes, when you see a superstar go down, collectively the rest of the group picks it up.
Totally.
I think we've definitely seen that you know, here the last couple of weeks since Harper went down. Stotts definitely picked it up. I think Bummer, Bummer had been coming around anyway, but he's continued. And Trey, like we talked about earlier, he's just been Mr. Consistency. And, you know, so the thing for me is going to be, will the guys that have been scuffling until the last couple of weeks, will they continue to play at this new, better level when Harper returns? And I hope they do, because I think that's going to be the key, you know, to elevating the level of their floor. Like, how bad are they when they're not hitting on all cylinders? That's going to make the difference come playoff time. That's going to be huge. And
we know. Look, think about the last few playoffs. Think about the huge at-bats that Johan Rojas has had, that Brandon Marsh has had, that, you know, like, these guys come up in big spots. That's what happens in the playoffs. And, you know, that's why it's so important to not have, you know, holes in your lineup like they've been the last few playoffs.
100%. I mean, that having six automatic outs is difficult to deal with at any point in the season.
Totally.
It's impossible in October.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I think is interesting is I've kind of been, you know, publicly here on the radio talking about the job that Dusty Walton does at third base in terms of holding and sending runners. I don't think he does a good job. In fact, I think he's terrible. I think he causes runs. I they brought it up. They highlighted it in the game last night. I think it's probably a nothing burger, but the guys, at least Schwarber, was caught completely ignoring Dusty Stigler.
Yeah, no, he ran right through it. Yeah,
I was shocked that he went.
Better off ignoring
and
he guy.
Scored somewhat easily. You know, he slid, yeah. But it was
something that. I was just wondering if it's something that might affect team dynamics in some way, because I think they're better off as runners looking at the ball, making up their own mind, and completely ignoring the coach on third
so
base.
I think
that guy cost his runs.
I get it. I don't think it affects team dynamics. I don't think they're in the clubhouse being like, man, can you believe Dusty sent him? He's screwing us. Like, I don't think that happens.
But can a coach get in sort of a bad,
I mean, look, you could do a bad job as a third base coach. I don't know that he has cost them games with it, Paul. But
I don't know if he's cost games, but he costs runs. He's too conservative. There's too many times our guys.
Yeah, I do agree with you. He is conservative. I agree, for a team that you know has gone through stretches of not scoring runs, I do think they need to capitalize in those situations. But at the same time, too, like. I mean, Schwarber's slow. Bohm is slow. Cassianos is slow. You know, I mean, seriously. So it is something where if you're Dusty, you're not just weighing the situation, but you're weighing the guy running. And he might, you know, maybe it's a edict where they're like, hey, be more conservative with the slow guys because we don't want to see them get caught at home again, you know? So I generally, I don't disagree with you, Paul, but I don't know if it's as big a deal as it feels like it is to you.
And lastly, just on Rhea, I feel bad for people. Generally speaking, I don't feel bad for people that don't enjoy healthy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Food. Like, you tell me you don't like broccoli, I'm right there with you. I hate that stuff. Mm-hmm. But not liking honey, I feel bad for you.
I didn't know where you were going with this.
I didn't either. I was like, wow, where could this go?
It is wonderful.
Not liking honey is like not liking pizza or not liking air conditioning.
It's like,
I feel bad for you.
There are certain things in life that you would just describe as like a joy of life. Like one of the joys of life. Honey feels like joy of life.
I don't like super sweet stuff.
Man, it's like, there's a word, ambrosia. Like when I think of the word ambrosia, I think of, how do you describe like something that's like nectar of the gods?
Yeah.
Oh, honey.
Nectar. Yeah.
Honey's
the
closest thing.
You're right.
And I don't like broccoli, but I do like broccoli rabe.
There you go. All right.
Bitter.
Paulie, that jives. Paulie, you got a answer for us, food and a title. Speaking of food, right?
Yeah. The greatest food of all time to me is pizza, so I'm going with the lamest answer ever, Mystic Pizza.
I love that movie.
Why does he think that's such a lame? It's a good
it's
movie.
A great movie. Yeah. Ben Affleck is in that
young
movie.
Julia.
Like young, yeah.
Young, yeah. That's the first time I remember seeing Julia when I was young.
Or no, I'm sorry. Vince Vaughn. I meant Vince
young
Vaughn.
Young Julia Roberts. Really, that's a really good answer.
It's a good movie.
Yeah,
it's a good little movie.
Yeah, it is a good little movie. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a couple minutes, we'll play you how it sounded. A montage of the weekend's highlights. The ups from Friday, the downs from Saturday, and then the ups again from Sunday. By the way, 7 home runs on Saturday. Ugh. That was something to live through.
Yeah.
It was something to watch. We'll let you hear the highlights from that, the good and the bad, coming up in a minute. Let's talk to our buddy Ed in Phoenixville. What up, Ed?
Good morning, team. You know what? When I can handle sort of the up and down of, you know, Castellanos, you know, the base running, that whole, like, you know, photo finish with he and JT. I didn't see the first half of that play to where, like, how did JT catch him? Was it Cassie not reading the fly bar? Was it JT just being super aggressive?
It was a little bit of both. JT had a great read on it. Cassie slow. Cassie didn't have the best read. And it was a combination of those things. And JT just being much faster than Castellanos, which is hilarious.
But it's nice to have that but Lizardo stopper to say, okay, there could be a lot of craziness going on in the lineup, but him going out for that seventh inning really showed a lot to me in terms of the guys at almost 100 pitches anyway, and Topper letting him kind of, you know, I think it was important that he pulled him when he did. But
I agree. And credit to Romano. Like, that was a big spot to come in and mowed him down. Like, that was good to see.
Yeah, and I think but going back to Harper, how important he is to the lineup. Like, with Castellanos, you're going to get really hot or you're going to get really cold. With Harper, even when he wasn't hitting, he was getting on base. Same thing with Schwarber. And I think it's just going to put that much more stress on our starting pitching to where, like, I don't know where it's going to come from. Like, you know, Cassie's not going to magically start drawing walks. He's never drawn 50 walks during a season.
And it's really hard to walk when you only see one pitch per at bat, too. Makes it really
tough. Loves that first pitch.
Unbelievable. It's almost like after the thing in Florida, and he's like, all right, well, screw you. I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want. He's going to swing at every pitch. Like, it's crazy, you know?
He's hitting them.
Exactly.
It's crazy that he
hits
that.
It's harder to get mad at it when you're hitting it, but to, you know, Ed's point, we know that Cassie can get cold, and, you know, when he is swinging freely like that, maybe he's not taking the way he has been a lot this season. So it is important that he stay within himself.
I think
so.
Yeah.
So I just hope that he kind of, you know, figures that out. But I don't know if it was this series or the series before, but, you know, Brandon Marsh, I'm still not really in on him yet, but it seems like every time I see him against a left-handed batter, he had a hit. I think it was Friday
so
or maybe Thursday.
He's been pretty good this year comparatively. I think his career OPS versus lefties is like 592, and he's 7-something this year, 750
or something like
that.
And they're going to face a bunch in Houston,
yeah,
right?
And yeah. Look, you know, with Rojas becoming Johan Rojas again as an offensive player after that nice start to the season, you know, Marsh is important. Obviously, we all hope they add an outfield bat, but, you know, Marsh is important. Marsh is going to play. He's clearly their fourth outfielder if they do trade for somebody. He might even start instead of Kepler and left in certain games and all that type of stuff. So, Brandon Marsh, and again, I'm with you, Ed. Like, I really need to see it in the playoffs before I'm going to be fully in on Brandon Marsh, but... You know, credit where due again. You know, he's been, it's after a disastrous, I mean, he got sent to the freaking minors. That's how bad Brandon Marsh was.
I wasn't buying that injury.
Yeah, me neither. That yeah. That felt like a totally a phantom IL. But then, you know, has rebounded. So credit there. I need to see it longer and in big spots. But there are certainly reasons for optimism with Brandon Marsh where there weren't before it.
Exactly. Started dipping my toes back in. So anyway, I got my answer. And it's so funny you guys are talking about growing vegetables, John. Mm-hmm. And it's the movie that, you know, it's one of my favorite Disney movies. I think it's a Disney movie. And it got my daughter into cooking. I'm going to say Ratatouille.
So I've been waiting for it. It's a potential winning answer.
Awesome. Great movie.
Great one. I actually saw Anthony Bourdain apparently said he thinks it's the best food movie ever made.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
it's a love letter to cooking.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
It really is.
It's a great movie. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to the phones in a minute. Plus, again, your chance to that answer you heard there. If you give us the best answer for a title of a book, a movie, a TV show, whatever, that has food in the title or drink in the title, any kind of food or drink. It could be water in the title, anything. Best answer is going to win Bare Naked Lady tickets. We'll pick the winner at the end of the show. Coming back to the phones in a minute, but in case you missed it, in case you're just waking up, in case you saw Friday but missed last night, whatever, the weekend, Phillies win 10-2 on Friday, lose 11-4 on Saturday, and then a 7-1 dominant victory yesterday in the rubber match to win the series. Here's a little taste of the weekend itself, the highlights, the ups and downs. Here's a little montage of the weekend.
Swing and a miss, struck him out. Wheeler takes a peek back at Phil Cuzzi, says I got him anyway. Castellanos coming around third. JT is right behind him, and they both score! 8-2, Phillies lead it. In a foot race for the plate, JT nearly caught Castellanos. Back, track, wall, gone! Over the angled wall, Nick Castellanos with an exclamation point. And it's hit deep to right. And the Mets have gone back to back to back as Juan Soto smokes one into the lower seats in right field. Pitch swung on, hit high in the air, deep right field. That's another home run for the Mets and another second deck home run for the Mets. Going back on it, Taylor to the track, looking up, it is gone! Off the ivy in dead center as Kyle Schwarber with number 24. Taylor going back, looking up, and that ball is gone! It's a three-run home run for Edmundo Sosa. They're all standing now for Luzardo as his first foray into the Phillies-Mets rivalry is a successful one. And he leaves to a lot of cheers here at Citizens Bank Park. The Phillies win it, and they win the series here this weekend as the Phillies once again take over sole possession of first place in the East.
So much to react to from the weekend. Lizardo, you know, you heard there the ovation leaving the field. He does feel like he's got that kind of big game feel to him. He hasn't pitched in many big games, but he gets so competitive. And to your point, coming back out for that inning and you're trying to give them all he had. I'm excited to see Lizardo in some big spots.
107 in that one. Yeah. And that's the thing. All of our guys get to those deep spots. And it just feels like, man, we are so quality, such high quality. We're stacked. Why? You listen to those the highlights. It's so awesome thinking back. The picture in my mind's eye from the weekend, the Mets defense. Why did it seem so sparse? I mean, there was...
Yeah, it felt like a lot of balls dropped. Is that what you're talking
about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It totally. Was... It just...
positioning.
Like,
I don't
know. Are they that bad positioning wise, or were we that lucky with where we were hitting the ball, or that skillful with hitting the ball where they weren't? I guess. It looked like it always took forever. I mean, when Casty's driving Kyle Schwarber home from first base.
Totally.
It's taking quite a while for them to get to the ball.
Yeah, I think it's probably more luck than anything, but maybe some bad positioning, some bad defensive alignments. But I'm with you. I noticed that all weekend long. It felt like a lot of the little bloop things where you're like, oh, they got that. Yeah. It would fall in.
Now, we
do have to talk about one negative in terms of a ball falling in, because he has been a topic of conversation defensively last week in Miami and the whole thing. That Castellanos play, where he missed the ball and essentially was in foul territory as the ball went fair. I mean, it might be the worst read on a fly ball I've ever seen in my life. I mean, could you be more wrong? He was standing in foul territory and the ball's falling fair. Rhea,
bizarre.
That was crazy.
Well, I don't expect him to do a lot defensively,
I
but that just appeared that, like, he lost focus.
He just lost. Yeah. Which again, and Rich, you brought this up last week, and I thought it was a really important thing to remember with the whole Castellanos being pulled late for defensive replacement, getting upset, then he doesn't get pulled the next few games. That whole thing, you pointed that out, was it 2 years ago or something, where he came out and talked about how during the regular season, he loses focus and he struggles
to stay focused out there.
Yes. So it's like
outfielders in Little League.
Yes. And you know what? you know who I would like to replace late in games? An outfielder who might not be locked in at all times.
Yeah.
Sure. So I thought that was a fascinating point. And it'll be interesting to see this kind of continue, like the Casty right field thing, the attitude, whether he gets replaced again.
There is some. There are remnants. There's still some begrudging going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, so far it has sort of given him Hulk strength. You know, he in Hulk smash mode is swinging at everything and connecting. Now, what happens if he gets cold and he stays in Hulk smash mode? Then everyone's going to be pretty ticked, you know? And we lose some games because he's swinging at everything and missing because they start pitching low and away again outside the strike zone.
Yeah, it's a small margin for error with that. Yeah, so no, it's going to be fascinating, though, to track that. And I'm really interested to see, because we know it happened two straight games in Miami after he benched him for the game and came back. Two straight close games. He did not replace him late.
I thought it was hilarious on Thursday. Now, I was off on Friday. And I was laughing when I saw, you know, how the game ended.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable.
And
yeah.
I was not the least bit surprised that not only was he back out there, that that they weren't going to pull him.
Oh,
it didn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah. And I definitely think it was because of the reaction.
And
all
celebrated.
That.
Celebrated. Oh, I'm so.
I know. Let me rip
I'm
my
so
shirt
proud.
Off.
I'm so excited.
Like the Hulk,
for him.
Actually.
And
ironically.
He did the Hulk smash shirt rip.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm very excited about the team. Like I said, I'm in on this group. I would make moves as of now at the deadline. But I do think that is a lingering thing. How Topper handles it. Will he be willing to remove Casty in situations where he clearly should moving forward? How does Casty handle it?
They have to communicate better, because, I mean, what's clear to me is that Castellanos didn't expect it.
Oh, yeah, which is crazy, because I'm sure they talked about it at least to a certain point.
I mean,
point,
and,
you know?
You know, we played that sound, but I'm still
Scott
not...
Yeah, Scott Fransky said that they talked about it, or that Topper told him that
he absolutely is sure he told him.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same as saying he told him that night.
For sure.
But I think it's something that they have to communicate on. And I think that there was a lack of communication, and I don't mind Castellanos getting angry for getting pulled out. I prefer players... I like when people are upset when things aren't going right. Mm-hmm. I do. I mean, to me, the stoic guys never work for me. It never has. So I didn't mind it, but I think they need to. They both, and Thompson especially, because you're the manager.
Yeah,
you gotta communicate better.
Totally. And look, yeah. I like some fire too, but I also, you know, within reason. And
I got the impression he was disparaging toward a teammate, though. That was part
look,
of
we
that.
Don't know. Yeah. We don't know. That would be my best guess, because I don't know. I don't think he like said
dark.
Something like horrible to Topper about him. Like, I don't think he called him some name or something. That'd be why he benched. I think the most likely explanation for why he got benched was
you're benching me,
but
not other
that
people.
That guy, or you're putting this whatever in for me,
guy.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So. I agree, but if nothing else, I think it is an interesting thing to monitor.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.